Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18
plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Studio. Donation made by Kevin Calabro. Pushes to $11,000 for the Ronald McDonald House. His parents were both teachers, Paul and Charlene, so he made the donation in honor of them. Very cool. Dad taught for over 40 years, mom for over 30, all in Indianapolis. Speaking of Calabro, we'll talk to Casey on Friday for his weekly visit, talking all things NBA. We talk all things baseball right now with our guy, Brad Adam of Root Sports. Brought to you by John up, Howie Puck? State.
Puck, my man, we also get to talk a little NBA today, huh?
Come
on.
We talked about this.
Oh, come on.
Remember when we asked you this about 2 months ago, and you, I don't know what you're talking about.
And you believed me.
Yeah, I do, because I do believe you. You tell me the, well, actually, no, because remember, no, I believe everyone's lying to me.
Well, I know very little, so the fact that I had even an inkling. I mean, I don't know. It's great. It's great for us, though. I mean, I'm glad it finally came out and, get to pair them with now the Mariners and Kraken and NBA. I mean, that's really cool for us. We got year-round major sports. It's big news for us. We're very excited about that.
Are you going to have a day off? Awesome. There's no off season now for you.
I know. I was just talking with Matt about that. It's like, what happened to my nice 4 month chunk of change so I can coach my girls in basketball?
Yeah.
I still hope I get to do that and watch a little basketball. Maybe, you know, we talk a little bit. Damian Lillard, we come up. Yeah. You know,
he won't be on the team, though. There, he's moving.
Stop it. Yeah, stop it.
What?
Stop.
He's gone. He sent
that.
The cryptic message.
No,
he's
the
not
Nipsey
going
hustle. He's
anywhere.
What'd he say?
He basically had a picture of himself in street clothes at the arena saying, you no longer can give your all if you're not going to have it rewarded or something like that. Like, he's out.
I think he's just upset because they lost in the first round. He's out.
You hear where he's going, right?
LeBron James.
Headed to L.A.
He's not going to L.A.
No.
LeBron just changed his number, by the way, from 23 to 6.
Well, it's good because he should never be wearing 23.
LeBron James.
He wants to, what, have two jerseys retired like Kobe did? Interesting.
If Darius Miles can wear it, LeBron can wear it.
So the Blazers next year on Root Sports,
awesome.
Right? That is very cool.
Yeah.
So you got the Blazers. How are you going to get them all on? What happens when there's a conflict? Blazers and Kraken, what happens?
Picture in picture.
Yeah,
we
split
the screen. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll have some alternate channels that they'll try to figure out the traffic on that. Yes. So it's going to be awesome. Yeah, it's going to have multiple channels, and it's going to be great.
I love it.
You guys are really trying to make me get cable.
You're
going
to do it.
I'm not going to do it because you guys are cable bullies.
Come on.
What you guys are. Give it to me for free. No.
Come on. We can't give it. They don't play for free. I mean, we got to pay. You guys got to pay to watch. Come on.
Son of
it's worth it. Come on. Think of all this. Think
so
of
now
it. Every night you could have a pro team every night. Come on, Puck.
So Root Sports, the home of the M's, the Blazers, and the Kraken, and the GNAG.
Big Sky.
Oh, Big Sky. Big Sky.
Big Sky.
I love it, man.
Yeah.
I love it. Congratulations to all you guys over there. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. Thank you.
That's cool.
No off days. You're right. I gotta think about that.
Does that mean Billy Kruger's going to have to double dip? Because if people don't know this, Bill was a two-sport athlete.
Yeah, right. He was the University of Portland. He was there to play basketball.
Yeah.
He was to play basketball.
Go Pilots.
Then just decided to go out for baseball.
God, I love that. Well, maybe I'll just give baseball a try.
That worked out.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. Not too bad.
I'm just going to try my hand.
In high school. I can be a pitcher in the big leagues. Sure.
obviously, the biggest news, Brad, is Jared Kelnick. I mean, not unexpected.
Right.
But I don't know if it was overdue or what do you make of the Jared Kelnick going down in his first 23 plus games in the majors?
Well, like he said yesterday, I mean, it didn't go the way he or anybody thought it would. And that's okay. You know, most people struggle Again, we've said it before, the hardest thing in any sport to do is hit a baseball, especially when you don't really have a lot of experience in the minors and you're just kind of facing the best in the world at the big league level. And, you know, we had a graphic the other day, Mike Trout struggled his first 15, 16 games.
Oh, he went down. God. There it is. Oh, there it was. I knew it.
I mean, it's like we just set it up on a platter. Okay, continue.
Jesus. Take a drink.
You know, take a drink take at your home. Drink. Brad's the latest one. Mike Trout struggled too.
A lot do. You know that. So I think it was
every day.
Certainly time. I mean, when you're 0 for 39, something has to change. So I'm glad he got sent down and kind of like a reset Trammell type of thing. But you know, I don't worry about Kelenic at all because I think he has so much belief and confidence in himself that I don't think this will set him back at all. But I hope he goes down there and is down for a few weeks and really, you know, figures things out and gets confident. When he comes back, he'll be ready to stay.
We talked about it last.
Like Mike Trout.
We were talking about last hour because, I mean, Cal Raleigh, I don't know what more he needs to show anybody. But do you think that Jared Kelenic's struggles when he came up, do you think maybe that is kind of Jerry DePoto looks at that and says, well, maybe we wait on Cal Raleigh because it didn't work out for Jared Kelenic so fast?
That's a good point. I mean, they had, what, six games for Kelenic before being promoted. And he was, you know, the guy, number four overall in baseball, number one for the Mariners. And they saw Trammell really, really struggle his first time up. So maybe they are being a little bit more cautious. I think that you know, getting a little life from Tom Murphy helps them, and Godoy's been okay too. So they're not, I think, extremely desperate right now at the catcher position. So I think they are doing the right thing and letting Cal get the experience and the at-bats that he needs and hopes, you know, that some of the hitting and the power can translate. I mean, it's an 18-game hitting streak right now. I mean, he's hitting things out, you know, the batter's eye there, Acuña. I mean, it's very impressive. But yeah, I think it's smart, you know, to make sure that he's ready. You know, no need to rush these guys, especially, like I said, now the catcher position is getting a little bit better at the big league level.
The comments from DePoto yesterday about Jared Kelenic, he was asked, you know, one of the quotes that we've talked about, it's easy to be a backseat second guesser. The same thought might prevail if he had come up and crushed it from the beginning. We would have been criticized for being too slow. And again, see, I don't know what he was answering. Like, was it when you called him up after the week or called him up from the beginning? See, I read that quote differently. The same might have, if he had come up and crushed it from the beginning, like when he broke camp. Like, I don't know if anyone would have been critical of him had he come right out of camp and had been, you know, crushing the ball all over the place. Maybe he means after the week, and then they say, well, why didn't you call him up? I mean, I hope people all understand why he wasn't called up. I mean, I think people are all smart enough. They wanted to save him for a year. They don't want to pay him. I mean, that's the only reason why they didn't do it. Do you think, looking back on it, now, we agree, I think, all the three of us, that the time was right. In fact, maybe, at least Slick and I do, Brad, that he should have broke in camp with him, that he should have been in left field. Financially, I understand why they didn't do it. Do you think, though, looking back on it, I wonder if DePoto feels that, despite the financials of it, that maybe they did it wrong because when they did call him up, it's obviously in a period where the team is massively struggling offensively, okay? Mm-hmm. And then when they called him up, he was looked at as the savior of that franchise, and then they put him at the top of the order. And I wonder if how much pressure that the Mariners ended up putting on Jared Kelenic by calling him up actually when they did, especially offensively how bad they were, and then right away it's, okay, set the table for us, go. I would only imagine a 21-year-old, he put a lot of pressure on himself probably.
Yeah, that's a good point. Obviously he put a lot of pressure on himself and expects a lot out of him. But remember in spring he got a leg injury that kept him out, was it a week to 10 days, and that kind of put him back. So to break with the team, it was going to be tough for him to do that. And then with the minor league starting late, you know, he misses, you know, a month basically of time. But I see your point. If he breaks with the team and hits like seventh or eighth, right, and just kind of fits in and sees what happens, that's interesting. You know, he got those six games in Tacoma, so would he have been ready out of spring?
I'm just saying.
I understand what you mean, though.
I think, looking back on it, Slick, I don't know if you agree or disagree. I think looking back on it, had he, which many people, and I would say most fans, mm-hmm. and I think most media members, and everyone that was actually watching spring training, could all tell you that he was the best left fielder and should have been with the team when they broke camp. And he expected that. Clearly, he was going to be angry about it. Clearly, he understands the financials behind it. My point being is when they get off to this offensive start in which they can't hit, then he's down in Tacoma and he's hitting all over the place, you call him up and you say to him, maybe you didn't actually verbalize this, but you are telling him, okay, you're here to save us, a 21-year-old leadoff hitter. Now save us. And I just think he put even more pressure on himself to try and deliver because he was being looked at as a savior for this offense. And I think that hurt him. I think that's part of what hurt him. I would theorize that had he broke camp with the team, that he's not hitting 0-96. I bet. I think there would have been a little less pressure on him.
He was built up. I think the hype machine kind of built that up, and you know, number one prospect and the biggest Mariner prospect since, I don't know, junior, you know, at that age and stuff. So that's an interesting way of looking at it. I think defensively, I think you're right. He probably was the best defensive left fielder, the best option that they had at the point. But it's so hard, Puck, and you know this, in spring, to look at spring numbers and say, man, that's going to translate. You know, he had 350 in spring in Peoria against minor leaguers. You know, it's just so hard to think that those numbers can translate offensively. So I think they were probably being hesitant about that, a little careful. But then you're right. After those six games when he was hitting in Tacoma and nobody was hitting in Seattle, they thought that he was going to be, that boost the energy, something that, to get the team going. And, you know, one game, he had one great game against Cleveland, and he just struggled as a lot do. But again, I think this is a good reset for him. And I think when they bring him back, I think they have to be more cautious the second time when they bring him back. And to your point, I wonder if, you know, he comes back and hits leadoff, or maybe he comes back and what he was doing at the end was hitting sixth or seventh. And maybe, you know, that's a better landing spot for him. But that'd be interesting when he comes back. That's something to watch for sure.
Brad, you know, the transactions came out, I think it was yesterday, and you know, we saw the Kelnick officially got sent down, and there were a couple of moves, but there was a name that I wasn't familiar with, I'm sure a lot of people weren't familiar with. Dylan Thomas got called up. He got his contract selected by the Mariners. Maybe a little background on who he is and how he ended up being on the 26-man.
I think it's a really cool story. You know, we didn't know a lot about him. He wasn't one of their highly touted prospects. You kind of look into him, and drafted by Colorado in 2011. So the guy's been, you know, 10 years in the minors with three different teams, and hitting well in Tacoma, like .338 with six homers, and just hearing him talk. You know, it's always great, as you guys know, when they get the call up and they talk about getting the call and reaching their lifelong dream of being a big leaguer. But this guy's had, you know, 10 years of grinding in the minors, and when he talked about getting that call, and he was with his girlfriend and his daughter, and he gets emotional. He and the girlfriend start crying, and the daughter's, you know, wondering what's wrong, Daddy. He's like, nothing's wrong. I'm a big leaguer. And she's just, you know, Daddy's a big leaguer. And that just hit him, right? And he calls his parents, and it's just a really cool story. A left-handed hitting outfielder there was a lefty last night, Matthew Boyd, for the Tigers, so he didn't play. I would imagine his chance he plays tonight. Casey Mize is going for the Tigers, a righty. So, you know, you root for guys like that who stick it out, you know, again, that long in the minors, and to reach it is just, it's a real cool story, and you're certainly, you know, easy guy to root for.
The other cool story going on right now, we talked about Cal Raleigh, but J.P. Crawford has, I mean, he's turned into their best hitter. He's on, I mean, the kid's on fire ever since, not ever since. I mean, he's been hitting, doing a good job of hitting, but they put him in that leadoff role. He's been great.
Yeah. He's a streaky hitter, and he is just on fire right now. I mean, heck, he had three hits by the fourth inning last night. It's just awesome. You just ride it. Yeah. Hit him lead off. He's done it before, and he got hot and cooled off, and they had to take him out of that leadoff spot. But you're right. He's their best hitter right now. And you see the hits last night, all of them to left field. Well, two left side of the infield and the other one to left field. So when he can use the whole field, and it's amazing how few guys do that these days. Ty France is one that can do it. JP can do it. When he does it, he's a weapon up there. He's got speed. He's got a little pop. And he's their best offensive player right now. And it gives him kind of a charge at the top and a guy that can get on for Haniger, France, and Seager. It's still tough after that, but that's a nice four right now. And hopefully they get going against a Tigers team that for whatever reason plays, you know, like a first place team whenever they face Seattle. 4-0 yeah. against Seattle so far this year.
462 in his last, I believe, seven games hitting leadoff for JP.
Oh, leadoff, yeah.
Which has been it's been great to watch. What how much of this story has maybe percolated with guys inside the clubhouse that maybe you've talked to, this Gerrit Cole story and this admission, which was just, I mean, I think everyone great, saw this it? Video yesterday and goes, "Oh my God." Like, he was so caught off guard, and he's like, "I don't know how to answer that." I use this rosin and sunscreen. How many guys on the Mariners are using rosin and sunscreen? Oh. And if they're not, why? Why are they not using it?
You know, it's a weird combination. I asked Valley about it. I said, "Well, wouldn't it be like slick and slippery?" He said, "Val explained though that the talcum and the powder and the sunscreen, you know, mixed together, it gets really sticky." And okay. It's widely known throughout baseball that pitchers do this. And that was a big thing that going into the season, that the MLB is going to crack down on this. Well, we've heard that before, and it's like, come on. Like, what are you going to do? Well, they are actually cracking down on it, right? And they're taking balls, or they're taking samples, and they told the pitchers that this is coming, you know? So clean it up. And Bauer and those guys who have been kind of outspoken about it and have used it, and it works. I mean, it's amazing to see. So now we'll see how these guys kind of fare, and all the analytics will come out for sure with the RPMs and spin rates and everything. And everything's is been lower the last week or two. So I guess they're cleaning it up a little bit. Whether the Mariners do it or not, you know, I don't know. Should they? I don't know, Puck.
I'm not asking you. I'm not in all seriousness asking you if they should. But I just don't know how widespread this is. It has to be. If a guy with the highest paid contract in sports is doing it, I would assume that the majority of pitchers are doing it. And it is just weird. It's a comment, Brad. It's weird how we look at this and we accept it in baseball. But, God, if you do steroids, you're the worst thing that's ever happened. I mean, there to me is no difference. There's zero difference in using steroids and then doing this to a ball. You're cheating.
Yeah, and it's been going on for a while. It's kind of like, you know, a dirty little secret that hitters know, pitchers know. I mean, Trevor Bauer, remember when he came out and he knew the Astros were doing it, and so he pitched a game where he said he was going to use, I forget the name of it, but this suntan stuff, this sticky
they
grip.
Call it like spider tack or something?
Mm-hmm. Right, and he pitched a game where his fastball and everything, the spin rate was up like over 200, you know, RPMs a pitch or whatever. So he said, you know, there you go. Why do the Astros have the highest spin rate in baseball? You know, he said, there you go.
Yeah, and so, it's funny, and it's just funny to hear all these pitchers over the years, Verlander, complain about these hitters and what they were on, and then you're cheating too. So.
And they're doing it. And I asked Valley about it because, you know, people kind of defend the pitchers and say, well, you know, with the balls being slick or sometimes, you know, wet or humid, you really want pitchers to have good grip so they have really good control. They're throwing so hard, you don't want them to endanger the hitters. And I asked Valley, I said, is that right? Do hitters think like that? And he said, absolutely not. They don't want pitchers.
Go to the Little League softball if we're really concerned about it. I mean, I'm worried. You know, the little squishy little softball?
Oh, yeah, there you go. Go
to that. Oh, there you go.
All right.
Frisco.
Magisil.
Bardol. Magisil. Any one of them will give you another 2 to 3 inches drop on your curveball.
You wipe snot on the ball. All right, Brad. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll talk to you next week.
I always enjoy it. Yeah, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
There he is. Brad Adam, Root Sports, all brought to you by John Howie Steak. We talked about this the other day with Johnny Canzano, and it's getting a lot of play now. Larry Scott, in an Exit interview, made a couple of comments. There's one comment in particular that's kind of hitting social media today, and Larry Scott is a favorite punching bag of a lot of people, as he should be.
No.
However, what he did say is 100% accurate. And people need to come to grips with that. We'll explain.
Hey, guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This movie's starting to fall into the Shawshank for me a little bit.
Oh, really?
You know, because it's constantly being played on TNT.
Uh-huh.
And I'm always, and when it's on, no matter where it's at, I start watching it. And I don't know why, because it's so damn depressing.
Well, it's not depressing the whole time.
Not the whole time, but the ending of it is depressing.
Well, yeah, that's depressing.
The damn dog and pissing all over himself. Thanks to Brad Adam, Root Sports, brought to you by John Howie Steak. Fucking slick. We're in the Think a Teacher studio. Kevin Calabro making the donation of $800 to the Ronald McDonald House to push our total to 11th grand. Think a Teacher Studios. In honor of his parents, Paul and Charlene. Dad taught in grade school, middle school, principal of a grade school, over 40 years. On the school board as well for 20 years. Mom taught for 30 years. Second and third grade, all in Indianapolis. So thank you to KC for that donation. $11,000 raised for the Ronald McDonald House. We open up the live auction bidding every Tuesday at 12:30. So for the next week, thank the Teacher Studio right here on 950 KJR. What's up with that Wednesday? We'll get to that at 12:30. So we talked about this a little bit the other day when we had Canzano on, as some people may have seen it or not. But Larry Scott did an Exit interview with the New York Times. And there's a lot in there that, I mean, let's get the disclaimers out, like it's the ED medication. All right, you know, it's going to cause hair loss, you know, sweating.
Mm-hmm.
Your heart rate's going to boost up. You know, you may get an erection, but, you know, you may die.
And if it's longer than 4 hours, yeah. Call a doctor.
So let's get that all out of the way.
Okay.
He's an idiot. And he was a terrible commissioner. And he oversold the TV deal.
Mm-hmm.
And they erred in trying to do it themselves rather than taking less and partnering up with Fox or ESPN.
And they admitted kind of those shortcomings in this article.
Yes. He was too much of a Hollywood Saks Fifth Avenue type of New York Manhattan lifestyle type of commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's on private jets. He's doing, you know, staying at lavish hotels. He never connected with anybody at the universities, ever. And he did a poor job of the conference as a whole of promoting their product. It just was underwhelming. Now, they did get money, and this money did lead to facilities all around the conference being built. And it did lead to them getting good coaches. So it wasn't the worst thing in the world. It just wasn't as good as it should have been.
Yeah.
Or could have been. He said what is catching a lot of people's attention, including a great follow on Twitter. I enjoy him very much, called westcoastcfb.com. And they're making a big deal about this, and others have as well. Larry Scott had a quote in there that has ruffled some feathers, saying he's deflecting blame. He says, quote, about the failure of the conference. Should you be blamed for the failure of the conference not to be on the national like playoff stage?
Mm-hmm.
And Scott's response was, quote, USC, Oregon, Stanford, and Washington not getting to the playoffs more often or winning has very little to do with the conference office. Our traditional powerhouses have struggled the last few years, and that's hurt the league overall, end quote. And people have gotten very upset about that, saying he's deflected blame and that it's all his fault. He's 100% correct. 100%. There is no lying. There is no non-truth he said in that quote. USC has been an absolute laughingstock of this college football since Pete Carroll took the Seahawks job, minus 1 year with a special quarterback in Sam Darnold. 1 year, Clay Helton's been good. With all that talent that he can literally, in a five-mile radius, have on his campus, he's been a disaster of a head coach. Oregon, one double-digit season in how many? Six?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does have a Rose Bowl win.
Mm-hmm.
Have not gotten back to the college football playoff since Helfrich.
Right. And that wasn't and none of that was due to Helfrich.
And that's all Kelly's.
That was not at all due to Helfrich.
I would say of this group, they've been the best, actually.
Yeah.
But of all the resources they've had, if you would say anyone represents the West Coast in football right now, it's USC one because of name,
right,
tradition, and then it's Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Stanford and Washington. I'll say this about Washington, and I'm not taking a shot at Washington because I'm a Coug. Because I'll get to the Cougars here in a second. But no one will ever pretend, and pains me to say as a grad, they're not a powerhouse. They're not going to be one of these teams that every year are going to be in the conversation of the college football playoff.
Sure.
It's just the reality that I know some people, when you say that as Cougar fans, they get mad at you. Like, why are you lowering your expectations? I'm not lowering my expectations. I'm just telling you what the reality is going to be. All right, can they pop every 4 years maybe and surprise you? Well, I've seen that. They can do that. Consistently, can they be that team? Double-digit wins? I don't think they can. It's just too hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's too hard of a thing over there. But whatever. That doesn't mean you can't be successful.
Sure.
7-9 wins. I'll take that. But it's not Larry Scott's fault that Mike Leach took a very talented team into the Holiday Bowl against a team he should have beat by 30 in Michigan State, and they lost. That's not Larry Scott's fault. That's Mike Leach's fault. That's the Cougars' fault. It's not Larry Scott's fault that Washington, again, I'm not taking a shot at him, that they have not won a meaningful bowl game since the 2010 Holiday Bowl. They haven't beaten anyone on a national stage. No one. So you can't be, hey, we want to be on the national stage. Well, when you play Ohio State in the Rose Bowl, when you play Penn State in the Fiesta Bowl, you better beat them to show everyone that you are on the national stage. And they haven't done it. Neither has Stanford, and really neither has Oregon, minus the Rose Bowl with, who'd they beat?
Wisconsin.
Yeah. But this, and really they should have thrown UCLA in this. But the biggest reason why they are not taken seriously on the national stage for the college football playoff is USC. So he's 100%. I don't really know if there's a debate on this.
I mean, it's a bit of a chicken and an egg thing because, okay, why? And you look at why these programs are struggling now, and we talked about it just yesterday, talking about when we would talk with John Canzano about, you know, the biggest programs in the country are taking players right out of USC's backyard, five-star quarterbacks.
At Clemson and Alabama from Southern California.
Right. So, but why are they doing that? Well, the Pac-12, the perception is low and is down on the Pac-12, and rightfully so. But so I think that they kind of go hand in hand. Yes, it is up to these programs to be competitive, to put themselves on national stage, but it's also just an overall, you know, nationwide perception of the Pac-12. We call them a Power Five conference. I think everywhere else across the country kind of scoffs at that, at the Pac-12 being a Power Five conference. So I think that they do go hand in hand.
They're drawing this conclusion had they have more money that these programs would be better. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how money equates to being better on the field. It certainly didn't prevent Washington a few, 14, 15, when was it? At 16? When they played Alabama.
Right.
I mean, they played in there. They had a good team that year. And I thought for a half played well. They got worn out in the second half because they got dudes down there, right? That just they recruit from a different area. Just don't have players like that out here. I don't think any of the failures on the field, in my opinion, have anything to do with Larry Scott. Zip, zilch, Nothing. That's on the failure of the schools and the coaches and the players. Not being recognized, not branding yourself,
yeah,
not having a better TV presence, that's all on him. But Oregon has a plethora of resources money-wise. So does Washington, so does Stanford, and so does UCLA. I mean, look at UCLA. Utter disaster under Chip Kelly. They just have. They've underwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been good. UCLA should be dominant. They just, every time they get placed on a big stage against a big opponent,
yeah,
they fail. And every year they do.
Everybody.
And that's everybody. This is not just an Oregon thing or right, a USC or what. Everybody does. So I mentioned Wazoo. Wazoo in that Holiday Bowl against Michigan, they had no business losing. And then they lost to Air Force. No business. They were just vastly underprepared. And then they crapped all over themselves on a national audience. And then people see it and go, well, the Pac-12, not very good. That's why this year, to put two games or two teams on notice, but that's why September 11th, right?
Yes.
Is so pivotal.
Yeah.
Because Oregon plays at Ohio State same day as Washington plays at Michigan.
Big
They can
day.
Change the narrative at least for a little while. All right, tweet of the day coming up next.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Strike and strike.
Okay,
put off the button.
Do the audience.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. The man is worth a while is the man who can smile when his shorts are too tight in the sea. Okay, Pookie, do the honors.
Boat. Is it the Flying Wasp?
The Flying Wasp. That's right.
What's Danger? Do you remember what Dangerfield's boat is?
Oh, I don't. Bless the Flying Wasp and all who may sail
on
her.
Wasp. I christen thee the Flying Wasp.
No, I don't remember Dangerfield's.
Seafood.
That's the name of Al Shervik's boat? Or boat?
Seafood.
Seafood.
I got a while. I haven't seen
over
that one
there.
In a while.
I want to go over there.
I haven't seen that one in a while. I was just thinking that because it's coming out this summer. And I think my first movie, there's two movies I'm looking forward to in the theater.
Okay.
When they're all back. The Black Widow.
Yes.
That's a theater one.
Yep, yep, yep.
And Top Gun 2.
I can't do it.
I can't. I know the storyline. It's going to be the same.
It's going to be exactly the same.
I don't care. I'm in.
Can't they just leave well enough alone? Can't we let something classic just remain as is?
Yeah, we should. You're right, we should.
I would like it if we could that, please.
But I love it. But my point, I haven't seen Top Gun in ever. Forever.
Yeah.
So I'm going to sit home this week and I'm watching Top Gun.
Nice.
I'm watching Top Gun. And I'm watching Caddyshack.
There you go.
Maybe an Animal House. Maybe a 3 for 3.
Ooh, 3 for 3. There you go.
Kelly McGillis. I believe this was filmed in the place I want to live, Oceanside.
Yeah?
Yeah. Watching every motion in my foolish love. Riding that motorcycle. All right, tweet of the day.
Would you mind if I went in there and took a shower real quick? Yeah, I would, actually.
You brought the white shirt back. You know, that went away for a while, but then the white shirt look came back.
Because I was inverted. She was very impressed.
You think your name will be up on that plaque? Yes, sir?
Yes, sir.
It's pretty confident concerning the company you're keeping. Yes, sir?
Yes, sir.
I like that in the pilot. we told you about this comedian a couple days ago who does the Charles Barkley impersonations. His name's Funny Dan. He's a talk show host in D.C. Well, they brought him on the show last night inside the NBA to have Funny Danny, his Barkley impersonation, interview Charles Barkley.
That's the first question for Chuck. This is Chuck. I want to ask you, first of all, like I say, how come when it's your turn to talk, you push your right hand down on the podium like this and brace yourself like it's an earthquake? Why you do that?
You have to speak with power. You have to speak with conviction. Let people know you in the room. So you do put your hand down to get their attention first and foremost.
That didn't make no sense. Now, here's my next question for Chuck, which is also Chuck. When it's Kenneth turn to talk, Ernie throw it to Kenneth. So Ernie got the ball, but it's not a real ball, but it's a pretend ball. And he throw it to Kenneth. Why come does it look like, first, like I say, that Kenneth looks like he's about to give toddler bad news? Why does he have that pain expression on his face when it's his time?
I can answer that.
Go ahead, Kenny. Back to you.
Because, hey, Chuck, because every time you ask me a question, Chuck, I have to hear it, like, first of all, and it's not really first of all. Yeah, it's usually second of all, a third of all, a fourth of all, a fifth of all. So he's always using the same one as it's the first time we're hearing it, and it's not. That's why I'm in the painful look.
Chuck, that makes sense. Chuck? You see how that answer makes sense?
First of all, can it make
sense? First of all, there it is! There it is! First of all, there it is! There it is! First of all!
Stay in character, Danny. Stay in character.
First of all, go ahead. First of all, what? No, I'm saying, you make sense, Ernie makes sense, and I make sense. That's the way this show works.
What about Shaq?
Don't make no sense.
I don't need to. I make dollars and cents.
Whoa!
Go ahead, Chuck. Thank you very much, Ernest. So this is Chuck again for Chuck. My question is, how come every time there's a highlight and there's a center, not even in the game, but in the arena, maybe he hurt in his street clothes, how come Shaq take credit for the center? He didn't invent the position, but he act like he do. How come he do that?
Thank you, Danny. Thank you very much. And he can't give no big man no credit.
Oh, well, let me answer that.
Okay.
Because I'm the reigning Dundada of all big men. Period. That's why I can speak on that. If you don't like it, do something about it, Chuck. I'll come to Washington, D.C. and get some furniture moving down there.
So good. That guy is funny. He's a talk show host in D.C., also a comedian, Funny Danny. Follow him on Twitter at Funny Danny. He's great. I can't even tell who's who.
I know.
I can't tell if it's the comedian doing him or if it's really Charles.
It's really impressive. Impressive.
It's awesome. That's why it continues to be the greatest show on all time. All right, we roll into the final hour. Top story of the day brought to you by Farm Fresh Northwestern.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.